The microphone. He has no microphone. Okay, so next to me, just talk loud.
Yes.
Okay. As I'm getting things set up here, you might be interested to know that we picked up Mark Swaim at the airport yesterday. So he said he had a very good trip. He even got bumped up to first class, he said. So I was really happy about that. No extra charge. Never happened to me. but I guess on a trip like that, that really is nice, a long trip like that. So, all right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Last session together looking at this. And there's still some more fun things to talk about. And we left off with that idea of being an ambassador. And that is what we are, ambassadors. And what a cool concept it is. There's a lot of things that the scriptures would put before us that God would inform us about. Telling us who we are and what our responsibilities are, and it's really fun to just learn of these things and to become well educated on what we are in Christ and what our responsibilities are. And one of those things that is given to us is to be ambassadors. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 18, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So again, just to just let that kind of sink into our ears, deep into our ears and into our hearts, this reality of being ambassadors of the Most High God, and that where we go, wherever we are in this life, that we bring with us the fragrance of Christ, you know, we bring with us the fragrance of Christ. What a lovely thing that is to be able to know about ourselves. We're here in this world, but we're here as though it's not our home, right? We're here as though it's not our home. And that sounds about right. We think about what is characteristic of an ambassador. Ambassador is typically in a place that's not their home. This world is not our home. We are here now as ambassadors. It's as if, and this is going to sound like, you know, of course, this sounds just like what we're talking about here. As if we were those sent from their home into a foreign land, as if we were only here on a temporary basis. We're here because we were sent to represent someone else from another country, even heaven, which is the home of God. And it's truly our homeland where one day we will be. And we realize that. We understand that by faith. We're like, we read the passage that says our citizenship is in heaven. And we're waiting for the Savior to come from heaven. And when he comes from heaven, we're going to meet him in the air, and he's going to take us to heaven. And when we get there, the sense of being home, it's just going to be, it's going to grip us in the deepest and most wonderful way that we are home. And how much clearer in that moment to look back at our time here and say, wow, we really were only there. That was just so temporary. That was such a temporary place. So you think about all those features that I just kind of listed and that go along with being an ambassador, and the concept of us being ambassadors, it just makes perfect sense. No wonder the concept is used for us. We are not home. One day we will be, we will leave this world and go home. But in the meantime, we represent God to this world. I think it was David that prayed, you know, that people would see Christ in us. We want people to see Christ, the one who has sent us. We very Well, if they perceive that one who sent us in us, by the way that we live our life, that would be so wonderful. So we go to the world on Christ's behalf. Christ is no longer here. He is gone, but we are here. And so we go to the world on Christ's behalf, and we bring his message in our mouths, this word of reconciliation. We bring that word in our mouth. In chapter 5, there we read in verse 18 of the ministry of reconciliation, and that it has been given to us by God. Ministry of reconciliation, and that it's been given to us by God. That word ministry, it shows us that in being ambassadors for Christ, we are doing the work he has given us to do. So you get this idea of a ministry that's been given. You're like, that's a work that he wants us to do. It's one of the ways in which we serve God. It's our job, if you will. It's our job. One of the many ways. I think we've got a pretty nice job description of that's, you know, and we're always learning, you know, about just all that is required of us as those who belong to God, serving him in a foreign land. And it's this is responsibility given to us by him and given to us by him. He's our boss. I know he is the one who is over us. He is the one who has sent us and has given us this work to do. And you know, if you and I get closer to God, and obviously we should be getting closer to God, we should be always getting closer, walking more intimately with him, getting to know him deeper, understanding him and understanding his ways, and just enjoying him, talking to him more frequently. Many ways in which we draw closer to him. And as we do, we will most certainly come to perceive very clearly this reality that a ministry of reconciliation has been given to us. I think that that's a neat thing to recognize that maybe initially when we get saved, you know, it's not so apparent. Maybe our excitement makes it apparent. It seems like we want to tell everybody. But as we get closer to God, it should be impressed upon us more and more that we have been given a responsibility. We've been given work to do, and this work is a ministry of reconciliation. So I suggest like just try it out, right? Just try it out. Just try and see what happens if you get closer to the Lord. See what happens as you walk with him more intimately. See what happens when you talk to him more and you know him deeply. See if it doesn't transpire into a sense, a stronger sense, an ever-growing sense that a ministry has been given to me. A ministry of reconciliation has been given to me. I'm not saying it's going to happen like that, you know, it's not just going to happen like that, but a growing sense and an understanding that such a reality is true. It's true for me. You know, it really is amazing how things change in a variety of ways as we get closer to the Lord, right? It's just amazing how he has a way of just changing us and teaching us and helping us, and we're not the same person that we used to be. Thankfully, sometimes I'm like, I am so glad I'm not the person I used to be. You know, I'm so glad to be different, to be changing. And I thank the Lord. I think I even this morning, just like thanked him. In one breath, I'm thanking him for the changes that he's made. And in the next breath, I'm like, keep changing me. Keep changing me. You know, you just realize that there's still more work to be done, but it's just neat to walk closer to the Lord. And as we do, things change. Even like a concept like this, the reality of this, it's more before us. We're more attentive to it. And it's a natural growth that takes place as we walk with the Lord. We grow to love it. We grow to seek it, to seek doing it. But it's good to be aware of it, to learn it. You know, even as I put my notes together right here at this point, I thought of that verse that says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." So I'm thinking like if As soon as someone gets saved, God is immediately at work in them to desire to do what pleases him. God is immediately at work in that person to enable them to do what pleases him. And the more we walk with him, the closer we get with him, the more that that sense that he is present in me, and he's stirring up in me this desire to please him and to be involved in such a work as this. Well, hopefully, as we should understand as much as we can today, to feel the obligation of it as much as we can today, even the honor and the dignity of it as much as we can today, that God has given us a ministry of reconciliation and that this is how we serve him. And he is in us both to help us want to do it and to give us the ability to do it, to be a part of this work by which he is reconciling people to himself. We are representing him here, we're sent by him here, and he's given us this work to do. Now, in verse 19, we read of the word of reconciliation, and we read that not that it's been given to us, but that it's been committed to us. So we've got something a little different here. We want to look at this as something different than what we just thought about. Now we've got a word of reconciliation being committed to us by God. Many of you might actually know this word in the Greek, this word of reconciliation. You might not, we probably don't know many words in Greek, but we might know this one because whether you've heard it in teaching or whether you've read it in books or something, but it's the word logos, right? That's a word that we might be familiar with. So that word in the Greek for word is logos. And even though we have a message to give, which we would understand as containing many words, is put here as a word. This word is singular. Logos, it can be singular, it can be plural, but here it's the singular. It's as if it's one single word. We know it's a message. We know it's a message made up of many words, but here it's presented to us in this way that it's a word of reconciliation. So I like just imagining this. Maybe you imagine this with me for a moment, that you're standing before God and you have been enlisted by him to be his ambassador to a world that is against him and who has wrath awaiting them in some future day and eternal wrath at that. And you understand that if God doesn't initiate a plan to intervene in some way, the world is lost. The world is lost. And then God says to you, I have a word for you to bring to the world. I have a word for you to bring to the world. You're my ambassador. I'm sending you into the world and I'm giving you a word. And that word, it's reconciliation. I mean, what a wonderful word to be given, right? You're going to a lost world. You're being sent by the very God who's been so offended by this world and why they're lost because of their relationship with a holy God. And he sends this word in the mouth of his ambassadors, reconciliation. What a beautiful word that is. Reconciliation from a God who's just so holy and righteous and just to sinners who have so offended him and continue to offend him, so rebellious. And he says, but this is the word. This is the word that my servants, my ambassadors are going with into the world. I'm sending them with this word, reconciliation. And of course, wrapped up in that word is certainly a message. It's a message of good news. It's the gospel, but it's just neat to see how we read of it here as a word. And I got a fun little portion of the scripture that just, this is just fun to see. So I think in the first week, we talked about how Peter went to Cornelius's house and how Cornelius was one of those examples of someone who was waiting to hear the message. Desiring to hear the message, knew he needed to hear such a message. And the angel told him, send for Peter. He will tell you how you and your household will be saved. So he's waiting. He's eager to hear it. And when he hears it, he believes it and he's saved. And this is just how it's written there in Acts 10:44. It says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. Now here's the fun part. It might be a little nerdy. I love this stuff. So sorry. So, but when Peter was still speaking these words, it's plural. So a message made up of many words. He didn't get to finish all those words, did he? But he had a message made up of many words. And when they heard these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who were listening to the Logos, the word. And I'm like, that's so cool, because here you got, you're talking about the same event. And in one sense, it's a message made up of many words. But in another sense, it's just one word. It's one word he's bringing. I mean, and we could very easily say it was the word of reconciliation. He spoke to them a word of reconciliation. He spoke a message, but he spoke a word. And they believed it, and they were saved. So cool. Actually, you want to hear another fun place? We find this singular word, word. Actually, we will not be able to come to the breakfast, because we're actually, I was just thinking about how I'm praying for all your kids, including Emily. We're going up to Rochester. We're up there the next two Sundays. But they've given me an assigned text for, well, at Easter. We'll do something for Easter. the next, they're going through 1 Corinthians. So I have a portion there. And it's fun to find that the word logos in the singular is used there in this very famous passage that I'm sure you know. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. That's logos in the singular. And we could say it's the word of the cross. And some of the translations actually have it that way. The word of the cross, like the word of reconciliation. It's one word. What a word that is, right? I mean, we're thinking about word reconciliation. Now we're thinking about the word cross. And I'm looking forward to talking about that that Sunday. Just what a word that is. This is the word of our message. We could say reconciliation is a word we've been given. And the cross, that's a word we've been given to as we give our message, the cross. Another fun place, I'll just give you one more. Another fun place we find this singular word, word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. All John chapter 1. All four of those are logos in the singular. It's all speaking about our Savior. There's a lot of other fun ones too, but anyways. And the Holy Spirit moves the Apostle Paul not to use the same word that he used about the ministry of reconciliation. Remember, we have been given a ministry of reconciliation. Now he says, though, that this word of reconciliation has been committed to us. Committed to us. And many English translations have it that way. Yours may have it that way. Committed to us. Some others have given to us or entrusted to us. But it is a different Greek word than given. And what it literally means is quite fun to point out. And some translations have this, or at least note this, that it literally means this. Placed in us. A word, a reconciliation, placed in us. There is a word from God, and it is a word of reconciliation, and he has placed that word in us. I mean, in us. If you're a believer, God has placed that word in you, right? And we are to take that word, which is in us, and we are to speak it. I learned something fun just, Michelle, we're on, and I were on vacation. We're on the beach with our books. I'm reading. She's not. she has good intentions to read. it's fun just sharing with her what I'm reading. There was this one part of this book where the guy was explaining that a word actually exists before it's spoken. Because a word comes to our mind, or we might say our heart. The word is there. It's been formulated, and then it has to be spoken out. And he was using this in a fun way, talking about how, if I try and do this, I'll get sidetracked. So maybe the first time with that. But just that concept that a word is formulated in the mind first, and then once being there, it has to come to the mouth, has to come to the lips, and it has to be, the air has to go through it, and you have to bring it out so that it's spoken and others can hear it. So this concept that a word has been placed in us, but it needs to be spoken, right? It needs to come out. It's been placed in us by God, but it needs to come out. And you could tell people this. I know I've heard people say, you know, maybe in certain circles, certain Christian circles are like, you got a word from God? I got a word from God for you. You got a word from God? I got a word from God. And everyone wants to say they got a word from God and they want to give you some, probably some prophecy over you or something like that. Well, every one of us has got a word from God. Every one of us has got a word from God. It's right in there and it's the word reconciliation and it needs to come out. As those who are ambassadors, given a work of reconciliation, placed in us a word of reconciliation, it needs to come out. I imagine this is why some of the translations have the word committed or entrusted. He has put that word of reconciliation right in us with a very clear implication that there is therefore a responsibility with that word. It has been committed to us, it has been entrusted to us, and God is sending us as his ambassadors with that word and expecting us to speak it. I think about the servants that were given the responsibilities. And you remember one just buried it. It immediately comes to mind, you know? Like we want, oh, how we want to grow in our walk with the Lord. We want to grow closer. We can sense the weight, the reality of this ministry that's been given to us. We understand the word is right there in my heart. And I realize I've got to speak it out. And sure, I want to be led by the Spirit of God as I do that. But I want to be a faithful steward with that which is entrusted to me. I don't want to bury it because stewards have to give account. That's a very basic principle, right? Stewards have to give account. If we've been given a stewardship, we've been given a ministry, and then something's been entrusted to us, a very word of reconciliation from God, no doubt, as it is with servants who have masters, we will have to give an account. And I pictured what the Lord might say to me. Something like this. I gave you a word, Scott. Put it in you. I gave you a ministry. It was my intention that through you, as my ambassador in a foreign land, people would be reconciled to me so that people could be saved. You know, and I think about that day. I want it to be a good day. I want it to be a good day when I'm standing before the Lord and I have to give account for this ministry and I have to give account for this entrusted word placed in me. I want that to be a good day. And I want him to say, this was my intention. Well done. Well done, you know. He might say one more thing, though, one more statement of what he wanted to do by means of me, his ambassador, means of us, his ambassadors. And it's actually one of my favorite concepts presented here in our theme verses. Scott, I wanted to plead through. Wanted to plead through. This biblical concept of God pleading through us just amazes me. In fact, when I was putting these messages together, you know, I guess you don't have to come up with a title for messages, but I almost always do. It's easier to make reference to them or find them when you're looking for them if you have a title for them. And so, of all the things that we've been talking about these last three Tuesdays, like this concept of God pleading through us, it made me name the messages. The pleading of God. That concept is just so rich and it's something to just wonder about. God pleading through us. Think that as I talk with someone, and you know, as I say these words, I'm like, I need to improve on this. I totally to think that as I talk with someone, as I'm looking to speak that word of reconciliation, that God is looking to make his appeal to that person through me. God is looking to make his appeal to that person through me. That it's not just me, you know? I'm not just standing there, sitting there, engaging this person. I'm not just there by myself to accomplish this. That my own consciousness should be raised to this would be a beautiful thing. I want that to be so. That's what it says in verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That Greek word pleading appears numerous times in our New Testament. And you want to know how it's often translated? It might be a little uncomfortable because we're talking about God, but we have good theology here. We understand. But sometimes the words that God uses about himself, you're like, wow. It's often translated as begged, often translated as urged. We should get a glimpse of the heart of God for the lost sinner, and that the desire of his heart for the sinner to turn to him and be reconciled to him through Jesus Christ is something that he would plead for through us. What an incredible thing to be conscious of. I see this picture that I have up there, and it just have these two women talking, and she's just explaining things. And I'm not necessarily saying that she's like, you know, she's saying God's pleading through me. But the reality is that as she shares the gospel, she shares that word of reconciliation and enters into that ministry of reconciliation. The reality is that God is there with her, and he's looking to plead to this one who's lost through her. It's a neat thing to just be conscious of. It's like, it's a neat thing to be conscious of. And then there's the word that's used for us. So God pleads, and then it says, we implore you. We implore you on Christ's behalf. And this is a different Greek word, but it also means plead, beg, pray, ask. But I like how it's translated just one time. This one time, it's my favorite word. How this Greek word is translated one time is the word please. The word please. So to say, like, we sense God's pleading and we are just imploring. We're saying please. Like everything that this, like the girl in the picture, like it might not be like, please, but it's everything in her, everything she wants to say to her, it's all just an expression of, please be reconciled to God. It's not so overt as that she's on her knees with her hands clenched saying, begging, I'm begging you. But that everything that's going on here in this scene, it's just an expression of, please. I plead with you on Christ's behalf, please be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I mean, maybe you do actually say those, right? Maybe you do. You go, maybe she does say that. I just plead with you, please. I have yet to kind of like have that kind of experience, but I mean, I've shared Christ with others, but to do this, to put in words and imploring, I'm just begging you, please, on Christ's behalf, please be reconciled to God. Well, it just seems like we ought to move closer to such a place as this. Can you imagine your own heart and life being an increasingly constant and sincere expression of please? What a great way. That would just be a great life spent, a constant expression of please to those who are lost. In various ways, various measures, various times and circumstances, but that our life was just a constant expression of please be reconciled to God. So this is a good place to just stop for just thoughts and comments about this.
I my mind went to the Lord at the dedication, the feast, and when he stood up and he said, if anyone thirsts, let him drink, yeah. And let him come to me and drink, and out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And that reminded me of this word of reconciliation, the word that he's placed in us. It's not something that... I think what it is we more often hinder it coming out. You know, if we just let the Lord say it to us. So I was thinking from a brother that said he was speaking to someone who thought that they were going to help, right? And the immediate answer is, but you don't have to.
Yeah.
You don't have to. And then that's like the Holy Spirit, but you know, please.
Yeah.
Trust the Lord.
Yeah.
I'm a very bad ambassador because a lot of times I find myself giving the message, but not pleading with the soul. Years ago, there was a brother, Water Street Mission at that time, Charlie Ross. Remember Charlie Ross? He would go down and he would sit next to these guys that are coming from the night for a meal, right?
Yeah.
And he would just plead, please trust the Lord.
Wow, yeah.
And that's, this is good.
Yeah.
This is, shake up my thing.
Yeah. Well, I'm right with you. I want to be there too. Like I want this to be more true about me too. Absolutely.
This message is really helpful. I went to the dentist today. I've been on the dentist all the year. And the receptionist, I've been trying to hours to her, which is very hard. Today, my dentist said, oh, she was surprised, amazed, and my teeth was, the pulse was looking good. She said, I know a lot of people can eat. And I said, yes. And then but then she told me my other one has infection, so I need to go back to tomorrow. At first, I feel like this is bad news. But then I thought, Lord, maybe you want me that opportunity to go to talk to her receptionist again, Joanne, to give her the Easter message because I didn't do it today. So I've been thinking six sentences. How can I do six sentences to give her the message? Because she doesn't have patience to listen to me.
Yeah.
I have to spit out very quickly. But if you give me another perspective, very humble.
Yeah.
Don't give her like very
Please. I wonder what would happen if more of our interactions with people came on in this kind of way. I wonder if we would see a different response.
It's like ambassador, like you said today. You are giving this, you know, you are entrusted, right? You say places on us, and then and we are held accountable. So it's not just like when I remember, you know, sometimes, or maybe in the future, I might do it, but it's like, you know, look for an opportunity all the time, every day. Like, you know, if the farmer's coming to my house tomorrow, I'm going to save him, you know.
It's that readiness always to just, for whatever opportunity. I mean, it might not always be the same. We might not have the same, just like today we had someone come to our house and bought something. And so usually try and give them something. There's not always like a lot of opportunity to interact, it would seem. It's like a quick exchange, you know, but you want to do something and you want to be prepared for something. Well, the guy came into the house and I was talking with him and through the conversation, found out that he is exploring religion and Christianity again. So I said, oh, okay. So he was interested in some books. I went down to my duplicate library real quick and I found a couple of copies of some things that I thought would be helpful for him. Like, well, anyways, one of them was One God, One Message by Paul Branson. So I got that and Chuck Giannotti's book on New Testament documents, just because I thought I'd get something more like that too. And I said, here, just take these for free. And I don't know, like, but that was clear to me at that time to do something that felt right, but maybe something more will happen, or maybe a further conversation will happen. He may come back and get more books, you know, but so I don't know if it's always looks the same, but we always want to be ready. And maybe that opportunity comes when you get to sit down, like in the picture, and you get to like really talk with someone. So it might not always look the same, but a readiness for, I think I forget, some writer said, you know, we'd probably have a lot more opportunities if we are walking in the Spirit of God. As we walk in the Spirit of God as a way of life, probably a lot more opportunities will come our way, or we'll see them, you know. and then to be ready to plead.
I think that's the key.
Yeah. The readiness to plead, yeah.
Well, no, the walking.
Oh, the walking in the spirit, yeah. Yeah.
This desire to plead is not going to come unless we have that close relationship with the Lord, because we're not going to see other people like he does.
Yeah. And if we are walking in the spirit, we can't help but see, because that's the way he sees, right? So
when we're walking in the spirit, we're going to see how bad we were.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say this.
Yeah.
And probably have more awareness of our own failures and sin than we did when we first trusted Christ.
Yeah, helps keep us humble, if you're saying, you know, a more humble approach might work better.
I could go back to verse 18. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just looking at Psalm 63 on Sunday. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So, it seems like before the Lord is going to give us these opportunities, right? Or maybe because we're drawing close to him, he gives us these opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
That it's really, he wants us for himself. And then once he has us in that position, we're good to go.
Yeah.
Oh, somebody put their hand up?
Oh, Ellen.
No, sorry, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah.
Go ahead, please.
So I was, thanks for your talk. Really appreciated it. I was wondering if you could give your thoughts on the concept of doing everything that you described through actions such as evangelization versus good works.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like it's a combination, right, of a life that's Christ-like, that people see and witness. It gives validity to what we say. But obviously, it can't just be that. We have a word of reconciliation, so it's a word that needs to be spoken. So certainly, the two have to be together. I mean, someone could get, I mean, some Paul talked about someone who preached Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely. And he just rejoiced that Christ was preached one way or another. Because if the message goes forth, people can still get saved. But it certainly is better if those who are ambassadors act like ambassadors with the message that they bring. But it does seem like both ought to be there at the same time, ideally. Anyone else?
James talked about faith and works. And he says, show me your faith by your works.
Yeah. And I think about that scripture says, adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. So put on the teaching of God, like clothing, and then go out. Then go out. Put on the new man and then go out and speak, you know. It's just very, I think we have a lot more, especially with people that know us, when they see that we are patient and kind and gentle and wise and holy, they can see that. And then when we speak the message, because we definitely need to speak the message, when we do, it has the tendency to carry more weight with them because of the life that they see us living. But if they see us, you know, getting drunk on Friday night and, you know, dropping F-bombs and things like that, and then we want to talk about, you know, salvation through Jesus, it's not going to go over very well, more than likely.
A lot of times through good works, you know, you've heard many stories that someone will say, well, you look different, or you seem different. Why are you different? And then you have an opportunity for the word to be spoken.
Yeah.
So it is a balance. That's a balance, and it comes together, right? It's part and parcel.
Yeah.
But we do have a word. The word has to be spoken.
Yeah. Didn't your dad, something happened to him at the gym? Remember, like, someone was, like, just watching him, and he was, like, he had just this, just
He was at the gym.
This is like I remember telling the story though that there was just his walk was like it could be seen about on him, and then the person came up. There's something about you. I'll have to ask him about that story. Right?
We have one. It's a little bit more certain.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Corinne Geiger, who used to come here, she was at a Weight Watchers meeting, and Ann Giro came up to her and said afterwards, "I don't know what you have, but I want it."
Wow. That'd be great if all of our
one verse in the entire meeting. I just spoke graciously. She came to a ladies' Bible study and she got
praise
saved.
The Lord. Praise the Lord. Wow.
Because I think of also being reconciled to God, not just like when we're saved, but a continual state of allowing Christ to reconcile, you know, because of his work. Mm-hmm. Letting him wash our feet, letting, you know, and understanding the enormity of what we have. So, you know, Paul is saying, you be reconciled. He's writing to believers. You be reconciled to God. And as you were saying before, that's where the ministry overflows. Mm-hmm. You know, because if our hearts aren't, I mean, even though we're believers, if, you know, our ministry is not going to be as effective if it's not our lives. So I also see, you know, the ministry of reconciliation, kind of living your life in light of a dependency on God for his grace,
mm-hmm.
to yourself and certainly to those around you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the reality of it has to be there and seen. Yeah. I guess I always thought that we implore you, it's really the you is in italics anyways, on Christ's behalf is our message. So not so much that the believer has to be reconciled to God, but that's our message that we're going out with. But there's always like some of the things that are done initially have to, there's a continuing thing on them too, you know, and that's, there's a reality to that too. So, yeah. Alan, was that anything you wanted to add to that?
No. I appreciate the perspective, and you know, I agree. It really should be a balance, and for me, it's sort of tilted more towards the good works. But
I mean, you build up those opportunities, especially people that see you regularly. People that see you on a regular basis, that they see those good works, I would say it's like you're buying up for yourself an opportunity to speak with them at some point, and you're preparing the way by all those good works that you're doing. Like the verse says, let your light shine before men, let your good works help me out here. Let men see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You know? Yeah. So there's definitely a real place for that. And that might be harder to do, you know, might be harder to, there's some people that probably can only been won over that way, you know, and who can God send to that one? You know, which of his ambassadors can he send to the one who needs to really be won over by a sincere Christian, a humble Christian, a patient Christian, one who's constantly doing what's right and good and can be watched, you know, that's like, maybe God can't send all his ambassadors. He can send many more to speak the word, but can he send them to also act out the word? There's something really valid about that for sure.
Yeah. But isn't there a verse, and I'm sorry, I'm not a scholar by any means, but isn't there a verse about something around the people that, and I don't remember the name of the people, but the people that sort of brag about the good works are not to be emulated, and the ones that do them quietly are the ones to be emulated?
Yeah, there's the, like Jesus talked about how there were those who sought the praise of men, and they announced, you know, their giving, and they made long prayers that they might receive the praise of men, and he said that they have their reward. So, but when you give, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Pray in secret. So maybe that's a little bit of what you're referring to.
So it's kind of like you can't show it, right? You have, it's better to just do it quietly and privately and have that one-on-one connection with those you're helping, as opposed to, you know, trying to be boastful or show off.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's not going to work. But then a real humble person doing great things for God, it can't be hidden, right? It can't be hidden. You know, God is going to draw attention to that one. It just a person that's living godly and spiritually. Some of you heard me tell this story before, and this goes along with the other two stories, is Robert Chapman was sitting in a car back in the 1800s in a rail car with two other people that he didn't know. And just to know, you know, Robert Chapman was, Charles Spurgeon said of him, he was the saintliest man I ever knew. So that tells you the kind of man that this one, he was old, bearded, and sitting there by himself. And the couple on the other side of the room there were arguing back and forth furiously in French. And the man was accusing the woman of something. And so she just kept denying it. She finally said, "I assure you that I am as innocent of what you accuse me as is that righteous man of God sitting over there who anyone can see is going straight to heaven." And he hadn't said a single word. So in a certain sense, like, that illustrates, like, man, if you live godly, if you really look like Christ, it just can't be hidden. And it's going to open up, like you were saying, it's going to open up opportunities, or like a story about the sister who just, it's going to work.
But according to the Bible, like Paul, he goes to every place, people claim it with his mouth, even people hated him. Mm-hmm. He didn't stop talking.
Yeah.
And he's constantly asking people to pray for him.
Yeah.
And God will open the door for him so he can open his mouth.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then he prayed.
The thing's not about him. It's all about the message, right? The word. And also, one other thing to talk about, the glory to God. First Peter said that the suffering for doing good will make those people that persecute you see your good deed. And the innocent and be glory to God. So
yeah.
Our suffering can also speak volume too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when they say give a reason for the hope that is in you, that's in the context of suffering.
Right.
Someone sees you suffering and they see your cheerful endurance in it all, and they say, "You gotta tell me about this hope that you have," but it's in the context of suffering.
Right.
Yeah. So that gives us opportunity too.
You know, Scott, I think too, real quick, it's Tom. At the end of the day, it's the message, as Paul said, it's the message of the gospel that God uses to save people. It's the power of God unto salvation. So we can serve people and do good works, and they are certainly, as you said, they complement everything that we are as believers and all, and God as well, but ultimately they cannot save you. It's the message of the gospel proclaimed. And I think that's ultimately, as you pointed out here, that's why it's referred to as the Logos, the word of reconciliation. And that's the message that God has ordained and chosen to, you know, work through.
Yeah. It's not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, Paul says, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
faith comes by hearing
by the word of God. Yeah. So we definitely have got, let's live like vibrant Christian lives and walk with the Lord and understand that ministry that's been given to us and be in tune with the word that's in us, and let us live holy, spirit yielded lives. But then we have to open our mouth and we have to share the message. We have to share that word. And then people, they hear it and then they can believe it and then they can get saved. And then we can just rejoice that we are a part of the whole thing.
I have a friend, she's a doctor. She's very nice. She said, "Oh, I will just be good at doctor, be very kind so people know that I'm a Christian." But then her patients say, "Oh, Dr. Quinn is so nice. She must be a Buddhist."
Oh, my goodness.
She's a doctor in China.
Oh.
So she has to speak.
Yes, yeah.
The message.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, we should pray. Our gracious God and Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we do bow before you and thank you for that such a thing is even possible, that that there is reconciliation. And there's so much that we've thought about regarding it, but just that it's even been accomplished, that God, you have reconciled us to yourself through Jesus Christ. And we know what that means. We thought about it in these times together. We thought what that means, that you reconciled us through him, through a person and through his suffering, through the cross, through his death. And how incredible it is what you are willing to do to bring us into a position of friendship with yourself, and even to be called your children, and then to even be given this ministry that we should serve you. We should work for the living God, be representatives here in this world that is not our home, to go forth and to just shine like a light, and to open our mouth and to speak that word that you've placed in us. And we just pray that all of us, and maybe we're all feeling that sense of like aspiration to something greater than what currently is, that you might plead through us, you might give us opportunities, you might help us not to be ashamed of the gospel, but that we would speak boldly as the opportunity presents itself, that we would yield to your Spirit in every way, including in our evangelism, and that you would just be able to do your work through us as you desire to. And then, of course, we would just have such joy to be a part of it. So we just pray that you would bless us in this way, and that we might serve you well and be a blessing to those who know us. So we just ask this, Lord, in your name, for your name's sake. Amen. Amen. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you for joining us all along.
Yeah, thanks for coming, Alan. I mean, for Zooming.
Don't forget that the breakfast is at 8:15, but the men who are cooking, it's 7:00.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Have a good night.
Just you, okay.